Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Follow Austin on Twitter at Austin Priceless. Austin, how are you? How was Columbia?
It was breezy.
Breezy, nice and windy. Is that why Jeremy Pruitt didn't attempt the field goal late in the game?
If you talk to him today, yes, that's kind of the explanation he gave at his press conference today, that going in that direction in pregame, Smagley was only good from about kicking from about, you know, if the ball was at the 30, whether you go to the other side of the field, if the ball was at the 35, he would have kicked it. And so he did not, based off of pregame, which, I mean, I struggle with that just because, the wind conditions do change over the course of two and a half hours, because of wind conditions in the pregame, he chose not to kick it and to go for it. Punting was never in the repertoire at that point in the game. He was either going to go for it or kick, and decided to go for it, and they did not get it.
Austin, what's the reaction been to the fumble at the goal line that wasn't?
Obviously Tennessee fans feel like the SEC officials, got one over on them. Jeremy Pruitt said today that it was a fumble. He could see it from the sideline. I don't know about that, but I do know that in their coach's tape from the end zone, he commented that, it was easy to see that it was out. It probably does hurt that the SEC network does not have the same camera angles as CBS or even ESPN. And thus, the number of opportunities to view that fumble from different angles were not on the table. And interesting, Jeremy Pruitt said that you can't challenge anymore. The coaches can't challenge. I don't think that's correct. I want to say the coaches still can challenge the play. And obviously there was confusion on the ref's part, confusion on the coaching staff's part. And, it's one of those things that, it's water under the bridge at this point.
What do you think of Jarrett Garantano's performance overall on Saturday?
I thought he was solid. Going in, I think, Coach Brooke had commented to Bobby Kessling on the Ball Network that he intended to play both guys. That never happened. And honestly, the way Jarrett started, I thought it was going to be really hard to go to Keller Crist just based off the fact that, he does, I think the confidence is key. And when you're playing the quarterback position, you come out and you start strong, and then you put in your backup quarterback. Does that, hurt the confidence of Jarrett Garantano? I don't know if it hurts it, but I'm sure he would have been missed had he been pulled after, a fairly solid start to the football game. So I thought he was solid. Was he great? No, he held on to it there at the end. You got to let that one fly. I mean, you go back to the Alabama game last year, and he threw that pick, late on a fourth down. And that was his first interception of his college career, and he commented then about, there are times you just got to throw it.
Well, I know that
fourth down being one of them, and he's got to throw that football.
I know that Marcus Tatum gave up that final hit on the fourth down play, even though, as you just said, Jarrett Garantano had plenty of time to get rid of it. Overall, though, I thought he was pretty good, and Tennessee's offensive line was good in this game. They found a way to generate a rushing attack in this one. It's the first time we've seen that in an SEC game.
Well, they schemed him up, and I thought, putting Carlin Fields and me in and letting him run those sweeps, I thought were a nice wrinkle and a nice touch. And, at the end of the day, though, Chad, when you look at what Tennessee got done Saturday, they had the ball for almost 39 minutes. They won the turnover battle. They were 70% in converting third downs, and they still lost. I mean, that shows you how, razor thin the margin for error with this team is. I mean, they can't overcome five, procedural penalties. They can't overcome two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. Those are things that, continue to bite Tennessee. Even when they play really flawless in other areas, it's the little things. And this team knows it. This coaching staff knows it. And to win three out of four and win two of your final three in SEC play is going to be a tall mountain. If you're Tennessee, you just got to kind of hope that Kentucky loses Saturday and comes in a little flat to Neyland Stadium the following week. But, you know, Kentucky doesn't like Tennessee. You know, that's a big rivalry. It's a bigger rivalry for the Wildcats than it is for the Vols. Much like in basketball, it's probably a bigger rivalry for Tennessee than it is Kentucky, just based off of history. And, you know, so, you know, they obviously, Derek Dooley's not looking too great at Missouri. And then, of course, Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt could be playing for bowl eligibility if they beat Ole Miss in a couple of weeks. So, you know, Tennessee's going to have a tough time getting to a bowl game if they don't play perfect ball down the stretch.
Well, and to me, the biggest disappointment in this game were the linebackers overall.
Yeah. Worst unit on the team.
Far and away. And they've been better than that this year. And clearly there's a better level for them to get to. I guess my question is, from what you've seen from this staff and the defensive staff specifically, do you expect them to improve with that unit? Was this a one-half blip on the radar and they'll play more sound football moving forward? Or is this a sign of a problem that can't get fixed?
Well, I think it's a sign of a problem. And you, as far as your inside backers, you've got three guys. You've got, you know, Daniel Batuli, you've got Darren Kirkland Jr., and you've got Corte Sapp. And, you know, some of those guys struggle to get off blocks. Other guys are just, frankly, you know, a step slow. And you look at Kirkland, I mean, he basically doesn't practice all week in an effort to rehab, and be able to play on Saturday. Well, that's just probably not conducive to playing at a high level. And I think that's part of the reason they've made the move with Jeremy Banks. And I think they had every intention of playing Jeremy Banks Saturday, and talking to some people in the building yesterday. But South Carolina did some different stuff that they normally don't do, and Banks was prepared for what they normally do. And they did not want to stick him out there in a situation where he could not be successful, because he had, you know, because in limited time on the defensive practice field, Chad, they had worked on certain things, and South Carolina wasn't doing those things, and so thus they did not feel like it was right to him or right to the defense, you know, overall, to stick him out there. I would venture to say he plays this week, and as much as Kentucky loves to run the football, I would venture to say he plays against the Wildcats in 2 weeks. But that linebacking group is, you know, to me, the weakest spot on the team, along with safety. But you don't have any major injuries at linebacker. You've got major injuries at safety with Mike Abernathy out, with Trayvon Flowers out. Both those positions are not real good right now.
Well, and look, I think Tennessee can win three of their last four, and they can win two of the last three in conference. I don't know if they can do that with Todd Kelly at safety. Todd Kelly, great guy, smart kid, not fast enough to play at this level. Is there any relief coming to that position with either Theo Jackson, Sean Schamberger, or the return of Micah Abernathy or Trayvon Flowers?
Well, you could argue that the play of Theo Jackson and Sean Schamberger, you know, is part of the reason that Todd Kelly's out there. You know, the coaches have not been real happy with those two players. They've obviously struggled mightily at times this year. Schamberger struggled to stay out of the coach's doghouse, missed team meetings, done the little things that just, you know, he can't do as a student athlete. To me, the quickest way to, you know, get in that position healthier is to get healthier with Trayvon Flowers or Micah Abernathy. And I would venture to say that it'll be Flowers back before Abernathy. Abernathy's, you know, battling an ankle/foot. And then Flowers is coming off that broken collarbone. They hope to get him back, you know, from Missouri, but they're holding out hope, greater hope, that they can somehow find a way to get him on the field for Kentucky.
Austin Price is with VolQuest.com. He joins us twice a week for the VolQuest Report here on the Midday 180. You can follow him on Twitter at Austin Priceless. Austin, thank you as always, and we will catch up later this week.
Appreciate it, guys.